On the telephone, Patricia Curtis was reserved but friendly. She was leaving the next day, she said, for Malaysia, where her husband was part owner of a textile mill. However, if I could wait until her return a month later, she would be happy to show me Palazzo Barbaro. Over the next few weeks, I educated myself about the Barbaro. I found a videotape of Bride's Head Revisited and watched the Venetian episode, in which Laurence Olivier plays the aging Lord Marchmain, living in self-imposed exile in a sumptuous Venetian palace. Palazzo Barbaro had been used for the filming of those scenes. Jeremy Irons and Anthony Andrews, as Charles Ryder and Sebastian Flight, climb an exterior stairway to the Piano Nobile, saunter down the length of the polished terrazzo floor of the Portico, and find Olivier standing at a window in the ballroom, looking out at the Grand Canal. I reread The Wings of the Dove, keeping in mind that Henry James had been describing these same rooms as he wrote of the angelic, dying Millie Teal ensconced in the palatial chambers of her great gilded shell. As for Daniel Curtis's nose-twisting attack on Judge Churchill, accounts of it had appeared in a number of books, including Cleveland Amory's The Proper Bostonians, but they varied considerably. Amory's version had Daniel Curtis twisting a man's nose so violently he was disfigured for life. Another report said Curtis had bitten the nose of a streetcar driver. Another had him knocking down a policeman who had insulted his wife. Yet another claimed that the argument had been about giving a seat to a pregnant woman. The incident had taken on the character of a folktale, changing with each telling. This may have been because Mrs. Curtis had revised the story in order to put her husband in a better light. In any case, the real story had been reported in minute detail by the Boston newspapers, which reprinted verbatim transcripts of court testimony. The confrontation had started when Judge Churchill took a seat being saved for another man, but it quickly turned into an argument about the bulky luggage, a carpet bag and a toy wagon, that Churchill placed on the floor in the tight space between himself and Daniel Curtis. The objects pressed against Curtis's legs, to his great annoyance, and Curtis brusquely told him to move them, which Churchill did. Moments later, the third man arrived and claimed his seat, whereupon Churchill quickly got up and surrendered it. But before walking away, he leaned toward Daniel Curtis and said, in a low voice, "If you are a gentleman, I have never seen one before." Stung by the remark, Curtis jumped up, demanded to know who Churchill was, and twisted his nose, in a moderate and quiet manner, he later claimed. Churchill then angrily declared, "Nobody but a blackguard would begin a fight in the presence of these ladies," upon which Daniel Curtis hit him in the face, breaking his glasses. Curtis was hauled into court, tried for assault, convicted, and sentenced to 2 months in jail. The astonishing part is what happened next. More than 300 of the leading citizens of Massachusetts petitioned the governor to issue a pardon for Daniel Curtis. Among the signers were Harvard President Charles Eliot, future Harvard President A. Lawrence Lowell, the Chief Justice of the Massachusetts Supreme Court, the Secretary of State of Massachusetts, the President of the Union Pacific Railroad, the naturalist Louis Agassiz, Charles Eliot Norton, who was Harvard's and America's first professor of fine arts, the historian Francis Parkman, the painter William Morris Hunt, the architect H.H. Richardson, the husband of Isabella Stewart Gardner, John L. Gardner, and an all-star roster of Boston Bluebloods, including Lowell's, Saltonstall's, Adams's, Weld's, Lawrence's, Otis's, Endicott's, Pierce's, Parker's, Cushing's, Minot's, Appleton's, and Crowninshield's, to name just a few.